بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. ما بعد. In our previous class we have begun reading الفصل الثاني, the second portion of this work with regards to that which the iman is derived from, the affairs and the issues that are our means to strengthen the faith and to make the faith firm and keep it strong. And we've seen that the author, he mentioned first and foremost the issue of at-tawheed al-ilmi, the knowledge-based tawheed, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the knowledge of His beautiful names and lofty attributes of perfection. Learning this affair in detail is from the greatest means to increase in faith and to strengthen the faith and to remain steadfast upon al-Iman, and likewise performing the obligations of al-Iman. And he mentioned after that, rahimahullahu ta'ala, pondering over the signs of Allah, pondering over the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he clarified, rahimahullah, Shaykh Abdurrahman bin Nasir al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he clarified that the ayat are different types. There are al-ayat al-matluwa, the ayat that are recited, and they're also known as al-ayat al-shar'iyya, the legislative signs and proofs and evidences. And these are the ayat of the Qur'an, and likewise that which has come in the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to ponder over these affairs, to ponder over the verses of Allah, and to ponder over the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his beautiful and great biography, and his manners and conduct, and likewise pondering over the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the creation. And they are known as al-ayat al-mashhuda, or al-ayat al-kawniyya, the ayat and the signs and evidences that are witnessed. Meaning one, he can see them in the creation of Allah Azza wa Jal, any of the universal signs. And many times from pondering on the Qur'an, the one who reflects and thinks deeply about the meanings, he will find that the Qur'an calls him to ponder on the universal signs. So one will ponder upon the words of Allah, and he will see that it's the truth from Allah. And then he would increase in that whenever the Qur'an likewise calls him to ponder over the signs in the creation. And he would increase in faith in this manner. And this is also considered at-tadabbur li kitabillahi azza wa jal, pondering and reflecting upon the book of Allah. So mentioned in the previous class, to ponder on the book of Allah means to ponder over the meanings of the Qur'an. This is one aspect. And likewise, to ponder over that which the Qur'an calls you to ponder upon. And from the amazing affairs in the creation, from the creation of the human being to the creation of the heavens and the earth and that which is contained therein. Calling to ponder over the creation, over the bee, and over the cattle and the likes like that. وَإِنَّ لَكُمْ فِي الْأَنْعَامِ لَعِبْرَةً نُسْقِيكُمْ مِمَّا فِي بُطُونِهِ مِنْ بَيْنِ فَرْثٍ وَدَمٍ لَبَنًا خَالِصًا سَائِغًا لِشَارِبِينَ اللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. So these are amazing signs that are recited, calling you to ponder over the signs that are witnessed, and all of this is considered pondering and reflecting over the Qur'an, After this, the author, he mentioned now the third affair, from that which الإيمان يستمد منه, that which the iman is derived from, can be obtained from, can be increased from, can be strengthened from. It's a means to keep it firm and keep it good. He says, رحمه الله وكذلك معرفة أحاديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. And likewise, having knowledge and understanding of the narrations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Having knowledge and understanding of the narrations of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. In our previous class, we had a question. If one, he wanted to ponder over those narrations, where would he look to find them? Where would he look to find ahadith al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where would he look to find the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Where could he begin first and foremost? Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and Sunan Abi Dawood, and Jami' al-Tirmidhi, and likewise Sunan al-Nisa'i, wa Sunan ibn Majah, and al-Kutub al-Sitta, Musnad, al-Imam Ahmed, and the likes like this. These books here, the books of hadith, this is where these affairs are found. This is where the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are found specifically. Yani in these great works of hadith that are known as Ummahat al-Sitta. Yani the main six books of hadith, but likewise, yani included in that as well, the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and likewise al-Muwatta, and likewise Sunan al-Darimi, and likewise Sahih ibn Hibban, before that Sahih ibn Khuzaymah, and Sahih ibn Hibban, and likewise al-Mustadrak al-Hakim, and also Ma'ani al-Athar, Mushkil al-Athar, li al-Tahawi, and Sharh Sunnah, li al-Baghawi, and other than that from the books of Hadith, from the books of Hadith that were authored specifically to clarify the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is something that's very important. So we have knowledge of the narrations. This is any every aspect of that. Any specifically knowledge of the narrations, meaning that which he was upon, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in statement, that which he was upon in creed, and statement and action and deed, and manners and conduct and worship, and the likes like this, and his conduct, how he carried himself, the understanding of his sunnah and his legal ways, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But included in this likewise is the other aspect of the knowledge of hadith, yani dirayatim wa riwayah, dirayatim wa riwayah, yani to learn about mustalah hadith, and how the narrations are verified, and how they're authenticated, and the effort that the scholars have went through to collect the sunnah and to verify the sunnah and to distinguish that which is authentically ascribed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from that which is not authentically ascribed to him, any from his statements and from his actions and what he was upon sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the great details that can be found therein, and the principles and the likes and the fundamentals that have been established in order to verify these affairs, and the books that have been written, yani books to clarify men, and the biographies of men. And what is so important about these men is that they are ascribed to narrating the narrations. They're in the chain, so therefore they must be verified, because the chain is from the deen, and the likes like this, and there are books that are long and big, and all clarifying when this person died and whenever he lived and where he traveled to and what he was upon and what was his creed and what was his belief and what was it, and how was his manners and how was his conduct, in order to verify if he is authentic narrator, should we accept his narrations, in order to verify the authenticity of the narration of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Great details that we'll go through to clarify that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to use miswak, and to clarify that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whenever he went to the restroom, he used his left hand, and he used water sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he used the stone three times in the witr, yani an odd number, and the likes like this. And whenever he left, he would say ghufranak, and whenever he would wake up, he would make this dua and supplication. Whenever he put on his clothes, he did this supplication. All these have been narrated with chains, and those chains have been verified, and there are things that are ascribed to him that have been clarified likewise that are false and not true, and the likes like this. And so his life in detail has been transmitted to us in the most authentic and the most detailed and the most precise transmission. Not just transmitted, they said this and they said that, and he said that. There's great detail in how those narrations are transmitted to us. Chains, and how those chains are verified, and how those biographies are kept intact until this day, and how these books, they reached us in this manner, yani generation after generation, clarifying and verifying the authenticity and the details of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But here, that's no doubt a person who would increase in faith by learning these affairs. He would increase in tranquility and peace of mind, knowing that these narrations, if it's been authenticated by the scholars of hadith, then he will have no doubt about it. He would have no doubt about it. If it's in Bukhari and Muslim, he will surely have no doubt about it. If it's in Bukhari or in Muslim alone, he will surely have no doubt about it. And if it was lesser than that, and he wasn't in either one of them, but it was verified, authentic by the scholars of hadith, like Imam Malik and like Al-Imam Ahmed, and the likes like that, and the scholars and like the Sufyan al-Thawri, Sufyan ibn Uyayna, and the likes of them, they verified these narrations, and those after them, they verified these narrations, clarifying that they're authentic. And then a believer, he will have certainty about that, and he will believe in it, and he will abide by it, and comply to it, and follow it, and follow it. But here the Shaykh, he says, وَكَذَٰلِكَ مَعْرِفَةُ أَحَادِيثَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ وَمَا يَتَدْعُو إِلَيْهِ مِنْ عُلُومِ الْإِيمَانِ وَأَعْمَالِهِ كُلُّهَا مِنْ مُحَصِّلَاتِ الْإِيمَانِ مُقَوِّمَاتِهِ وَمُقَوِّيَاتِهِ. He says, likewise, from the affairs that the iman is derived from, likewise, the understanding and the knowledge of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and what they call to from the sciences and the knowledge of al-iman, and likewise the actions and deeds of al-iman, all of this is from the means to obtain the faith, to obtain the faith, and likewise to strengthen it. فَكُلَّمَا ازْدَادَ الْعَبْدُ مَعْرِفَةً بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ وَسُنَّةِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ازْدَادَ إِيمَانُهُ وَيَقِينُهُ وَقَدْ يَصِلُ فِي عِلْمِهِ وَإِيمَانِهِ إِلَى مَرَتَبَةِ الْيَقِينِ. He says, so every time a person increases in understanding and knowledge of the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then he would increase in faith. Then his faith would increase and his certainty would increase. And he could even possibly reach the level in his knowledge and in his faith to the status of certainty, and a complete and absolute certainty. Any meaning certainty that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which was revealed to him is the Quran, is the revelation from Allah, and the Sunnah likewise, revelation from Allah. So a person, by learning about the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he was upon in his creed, in his tawheed, in his submission, in his surrender and humbleness and humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his devotion in the daytime and in the nighttime, and in good times and in bad times, and along with that, what he experienced in his life from hardship and difficulty and many different pains, and the fact that he was born an orphan, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alam yajidka yatiman fa'awa. Any of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the point, he was an orphan. He was an orphan. He was born without a father. His father died while he was in the womb of his mother, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then whenever he's 6 years old, his mother died. And then he was in the hands of a slave woman, Ayman, radiyallahu anha. And then into the care of his grandfather. And then he died by the time he's 8. And then, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's in the care of his uncle. And then many things happened to him whenever he became older. All of his children died before him. All of his children died before him. His sons, his daughters, except for Fatima, radiyallahu anhu. Calamity, any hardship and difficulty after hardship and difficulty. And then on top of that, whenever he became a prophet, after being known for truthfulness and honesty and upright dealings with all of his kinsmen and tribesmen and family members, whenever he called them to Allah, they lied on him. And they belied him while they know he's truthful. They belied him while they know he's truthful. And they kicked him out of his home. And they tried to kill him. And they harmed his companions. And they lied on him. And they ran the people away from him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. All these affairs, and the amazing affairs in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then whenever he came back, he pardoned them and forgave them. He pardoned them and forgave them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And his enemies, those who hated him, he would be the most detestable person, and in the heart of one of them. And even one of them would leave their home to go look for him, to kill him, to strike him, and to harm him. And by the time he returned, he would be his. There would be no one on the earth more beloved to him than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after meeting him and seeing him and witnessing his noble manners and his conduct. Subhanallah, amazing affairs in the Sunnah and the biography and in the life of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the one who's truthful, the one who's sincere with himself, and he looks into it truthfully, searching for the truth, then he will see that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He will strengthen his faith, how he is the Messenger of Allah. And he received revelation from Allah. Yet there are days he would leave his home, and he would see some of his companions in the street, and they would say, "What brought you out at this time, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam?" He would say, "Kharajni al-jur." He said, "Hunger brought me out of my home." "What brought you out of your home?" He said, "Wallahi, hunger brought me out of my home too." They're hungry. They're so hungry they leave their home. And this is the things that the Prophet ﷺ would go through. Sometimes he would be so hungry that he would leave his home. He can't sleep, he can't rest, looking for something, hoping to find something. He has nothing. He has nothing to eat. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Abu Bakr likewise would leave his home. And Umar radiallahu anhuma. And this is the case, but he's the messenger of Allah. Umar radiallahu anhu, he came into the home of the Prophet one time, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he see him laying on the mat. He seen the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laying on a mat. It's a rough and a harsh mat, his bed. And it's coarse and the likes like this, and it had left marks in his body. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Umar, he begins to cry. Radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma yubkika ya Umar. Why are you crying? He said, you're the messenger of Allah, and here you are like this, sleeping on this. Yani, your bed is leaving marks on your shoulder, on your back, and the likes like this because it's so rough. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, yeah, Umar, this life is for them. As for the hereafter, it's for us. It's for us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was given the opportunity to be a king and a prophet. He was given the opportunity to be a king and a prophet, to keep prophethood, but to be a king likewise. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, no, I want to be a slave and a messenger. A slave and a messenger. He chose to be a slave and a messenger. And يكون يعني مالك النبي ما أن يكون مالك النبي أو يكون عبد رسول فاختار أن يكون عبد رسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he chose to be a slave and a messenger. And this is the highest level and the highest rank. The highest level and the highest rank. And he صلى الله عليه وسلم. So the one who learns about the hadith of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the sunnah of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and the seerah and the biography of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and what he went through, yani, and the likes like this, and even to his death and how he died صلى الله عليه وسلم, he died yani, in a hard manner. It was difficult for him صلى الله عليه وسلم and the likes like this, but he's the messenger of Allah. But he's the messenger, he's the most beloved creation to Allah Azza wa Jal. And how his religion was given victory, and how Allah raised his mention and raised his name. وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we have raised your mention, Allahu Akbar, until now all over the world, even in America, even in America, in the middle of the lands of Kufr, his name is raised 5 times a day. His name is raised 5 times a day, along with the name of Allah in the Adhan. In the Adhan, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. So this is yani from the amazing affairs, from the amazing affairs. Yani how humble he was, and how kind he was, and how nice he was, and how brave he was. One time they heard a great noise outside of Medina, and it was a frightening noise. And a number of the companions they got up to rush to see what it was, to see what it was. And then whenever they get to the outskirts, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is already coming back. He's already coming, but don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's all good. He already went by himself and checked it out and verified that it was not an issue and not a problem, and he came back. He's brave. He's brave. They would hide behind him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So to learn about his biography is a means to increase in faith. And that he's the messenger of Allah, that he came with truth. He came with a deen that is good. There's nothing that he commanded except for it's beautiful. Except for it's beautiful, except for it's good. And the one who is sincere, and he applies that, and he believes in that, and then he applies that affair. And whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever the Prophet gives you, then take it. A person, he just submits to Allah. He said, خلاص, he's the messenger of Allah, I'll take it. I'll take whatever he said. You take it. He said something about a beard. He said something about a haircut. He said something about pants. He said something about food. He said something about creed. He said something about belief. He said something about fiqh and obligation and worship. Whatever it may be, you take it. Whatever he, وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. And whatever he prohibits you from, leave it. And the person, he sincerely, look at that, when the Prophet ﷺ didn't command anything except for his good for you. He didn't command anything except for his beneficial and your best interest. Didn't prohibit from anything except for his no good. It's no good. It has a bad outcome and a bad ending, and a blameworthy ending, and the likes like this. So this is from yani, the beautiful affair, but it requires likewise to ponder and to reflect, and it requires knowledge, and it requires knowledge. So this is yani, the issue. The one who learns about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he will increase in faith. He will increase in faith, and he will increase in certainty. Increase in faith and increase in certainty. Yani, because learning about him, you will realize that he is truthful. He's the messenger of Allah. So that means that which he was sent with is truth. The Quran is the revelation of Allah, is the words of Allah. And that the Jannah is haq, and that the nar is haq, and that the angels are true. Everything that he informed us of, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is the truth. And what he called to is the good way, and the likes like this. So he'll person who would increase in faith, and he'll have no doubt. Anything that came from the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he'll believe in it. And he'll increase in that, and be firm in that, by the permission of Allah. This goes back to, again, having knowledge. This is something the author, he refers to now. He says, فَقَدْ وَصَفَ اللَّهُ الرَّاسِخِينَ فِي الْعِلْمِ الَّذِينَ حَصَلَ لَهُمَ الْعِلْمَ التَّامُ الْقَوِي الَّذِي يَنْفَعُ شُبُهَاتِ وَالرِّيَبِ وَيُجِبُ الْيَقِينَ التَّامُ وَلِهَذَا كَانُوا سَادَةَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ اسْتَشْهَدَ اللَّهُ بِهِمْ وَاحْتَجَّ بِهِمْ عَلَى غَيْرِهِمْ مِنَ الْمُرْتَابِينَ وَالْجَحِيدِينَ كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى هُوَ الَّذِي أَنْزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ فأما الذين في قلوبهم زيغ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله وما يعلم تأويله إلا الله والراسخون في العلم يقولون آمنا به كل من عند ربنا وما يذكر إلا أولو الألباب. So the author, he says now, so verily Allah, he has described those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, those who have obtained the strong and the complete knowledge, and the knowledge which repels and removes every doubt and suspicion, and the type of knowledge that is strong and complete, that will bring about certainty, that is complete certainty. And because of this, Allah has described them as the best and the foremost of the believers, the leaders of the believers. And they are those whom Allah has called them as a witness, and he has made them a witness, and use them as the evidence and a proof over the rest of them, and from those who are in doubt and suspicion, and from those who reject and deny, just as Allah, he has mentioned in his book, that it is he, Allah, who has revealed to you, O Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the book. From it, there are ayat, there are verses that are muhkamat, they're clear and direct, and they carry a direct meaning that cannot be misunderstood. And these are the foundation of the book, and there are other ayat that are unclear. And as for those who have a disease in their heart, then disease and deviation in their heart, then they follow that which is unclear, seeking to cause fitna and trials, and seeking to have its interpretation. And no one knows its true interpretation and final outcome except for Allah. And those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, they say, verily we believe in it, and all of it is from our Lord. And no one remembers except those who have sound understanding, except those who have sound understanding. So he says, فَالرَّاسِخُونَ زَالَ أَنْهُمَ الْجَهْلُ وَرَيْبُ وَأَنْوَعُ شُبُهَاتِ وَرَدُّوا الْمُتَشَابِهَ مِنَ الْآيَاتِ إِلَى الْمُحْكَمِ مِنْهَا وَقَالُوا آمَنَّا بِالْجَمِيعِ فَكُلُّهَا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَمَا مِنْهُ وَمَا تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ وَحَكَمَ بِهِ كُلُّهُ حَقٌّ وَصِدْقٌ. So those who are firmly grounded in knowledge, then because of their firmness and strength and knowledge, then all ignorance has been removed from them, and doubts and suspicion likewise, and all of the misconceptions, they're gone. And they refer the unclear verses back to those clear verses. And this is from the means of removing all doubts and suspicion likewise. And this is from the means of verifying those unclear verses. And those unclear verses, they are returned back to the clear verses. And in this manner, all of the verses become clear. So that which is unclear in the Quran or in the Sunnah, meaning it's unclear, meaning it could be understood in more than one light, meaning it could be interpreted in more than one way, and the likes like this, something that could have an interpretation that could be carried in more than one manner, could be understood like this, or somebody could understand it in another way likewise. So these verses like this, that have these different understandings or possibilities, it carries more than one possible meaning. In order to know the meaning that is intended, one must return these verses and these texts back to the texts that are clear, and on the same topic, return them back to the texts that are clear. And in this manner, all of the verses become clear. So this is the way of the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge. And this is how they have achieved that strong faith in this manner. As for the people of doubts and suspicion, then they leave off those clear verses, and they leave off those clear texts. And then they delve into these verses that are unclear, And they do not refer them back to those clear texts. And in this manner, they introduce the doubts and the shubuhat and the misconceptions and the innovations and the likes like this. As for the path and the way of Ahl Sunnah and the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge, the scholars of Al-Hadith, the scholars of the Sunnah, then they refer these unclear verses or the verses that could contain more than one possible meaning, they refer them back to the clear verses and they understand them in that light. And now all of the verses become clear. So this is what he's saying. Those people who have sound knowledge, their knowledge has removed all ignorance and removed all doubts and suspicion. And they refer those unclear verses back to the verses that are clear. وَقَالُوا And they say, we believe in all of them. And all of them are from our Lord. All of these verses are from Allah. And that which Allah, He has spoken with it, and He has judged, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, that which Allah, He has spoken with in His book, and that which He has judged, or that which He has ruled, all of it is truth. And all of it is correct. All of it is truth, and all of it is correct. And this is the way of those who are firmly grounded in knowledge. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَكِنَ الرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ مِنْهُمْ وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ And likewise, the Most High, He says, but the firmly grounded in knowledge from them and the believers, they believe in that which is revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which is revealed to those before you, and that which is revealed before you. They believe in that which was revealed to you, any meaning the Quran and the Sunnah. وَنْزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ Allah, He says, and verily Allah has revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the book, and the hikmah, any of the Quran and the Sunnah. So those people who are firmly grounded in knowledge, this is what they say. Likewise, the believers, from them, they believe in everything that was revealed to you, meaning the Quran and the Sunnah. And they believe that in that which was revealed before you likewise. وَقَالَ شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ لا إله إلا هو العزيز الحكيم And likewise Allah He mentions that verily Allah He bears witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him And likewise the angels and the people of knowledge also bear witness establishing justice that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him the Almighty and the All-Wise And these are the verses that he was referring to in the previous comment that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about those people who are firmly grounded in knowledge, He has called them to witness to His Tawheed, And they witness along with Allah Himself and the angels. And the angels bearing witness that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And that they believe in everything that was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Quran and from the Sunnah. And from the means that they reach this high level of faith and strong and complete knowledge and certainty is that all of the book, they believe in it. All of the revelation, they believe in it. Everything in the Quran and the Sunnah, everything in the Quran and the authentic Sunnah, they believe in it. And that which is unclear for them, they refer back to that which is clear, making everything clear. And now they increase in faith. And now they increase in strength and in knowledge and in firmness in the deen. And firmness in the deen. So now he says, Rahimahullah, وَبِعِلْمِهِمْ بِالْقُرْآنِ الْعِلْمِ التَّامِ وَإِيمَانِهِمَ الصَّحِيِّ اسْتَشْهَدَ بِهِمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ And by way of their complete knowledge of the Qur'an and their correct faith, then Allah has called them to witness in this life. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى In this life and the hereafter. Then Allah has called them to witness in this life and the hereafter, just as Allah the Most High, He says, وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ والإيمان لقد لبثتم في كتاب الله إلى يوم البعث فهذا يوم البعث ولكنكم كنتم لا تعلمون And Allah He mentions that and those people who have been given knowledge and faith then they say that verily you have remained in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal until the day of resurrection and now is the day of resurrection what you used to not know but before you did not know and they did not believe وأخبر تعالى في عدة آيات أن القرآن آيات للمؤمنين وللموقنين لأنه يحصل لهم بتلاوته وتدبره من العلم واليقين والإيمان بحسب ما فتح الله عليهم منه فلا يزالون يزدادون علما وإيمانا ويقينا علما وإيمانا ويقينا So he says now that Allah He has informed in a number of verses that the Qur'an is clear proofs and evidences for the believers and for the people of certainty. And that is because by reciting it and pondering over it, they obtain the knowledge and certainty and the complete faith according to that which Allah opens for them and He provides for them from His grace. And they continue to increase in knowledge and in faith and in certainty. And certainty. So he says, Rahimahullah, فَتَدَبُّرُوا لِلْقُرْآنِ مِنْ أَعْظَمِ الطُّرُقِ وَالْوَسَائِلِ الْجَارِبَةِ لِلْإِيمَانِ وَالْمُقَوِّيَةِ لَهُ. So therefore, to ponder and to reflect over the Quran is from the greatest ways and means to bring about the faith and to strengthen it. قَالَ تَعَالَى كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ وَلِيَتَذَكَّرَ أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. That this is a book that we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, full of blessing, so that they may ponder and reflect over its verses, and so that the people of sound understanding may remember and take admonition and reflect and take heed. فاستخراج, so he says, rahimahullah, فاستخراج بركة القرآن التي من أهمها حصول الإيمان سبيله وطريقه تدبر آياته وتأملها. So therefore, the means to bring out the blessing of the Quran, to bring out the blessing of the Quran, which from the most important blessings of the Quran. The Quran has many blessings. يعني كتابٌ يعني مبارك. It's a blessed book. كتابٌ أنزلناه إليك مبارك. مبارك. It's a blessed book, full of blessing, for many different avenues and many different aspects. So he's saying, rahimahullah, to take out that blessing, to receive, to achieve that blessing, and from the most important aspects of that blessing is to obtain faith. Is to obtain faith. And it from the ways of that and the path to that and the means to that is to ponder and to reflect over its verses and to think deeply over the verses of the Quran. Here is an indication likewise of the importance of learning the Arabic language, because the Quran in Arabian, it is an Arabic Quran. It is an Arabic recitation. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, he is Arabi. النبي العربي صلى الله عليه وسلم الأمي العربي he was Arab. He was Arab صلى الله عليه وسلم. So to truly ponder over the Quran and to truly reflect on his hadith and his biography, anyone must have the key, the key to enter into this door, to enter into this gateway, and that is the Arabic language. That is the Arabic language. So this is an indication of the importance of striving to learn the Arabic language in a proper manner, to learn it, and for those who are non-Arab and those who are Arab likewise, to learn the Arabic language with the intention to understand the Quran. Whether a person, his tongue is already in Arabic or not. If it is, alhamdulillah, it's a blessing. But still, and if many of the of those who speak the Arabic language and they were raised upon that way, the Arabic language they know doesn't truly help them understand and ponder and reflect over the Quran. And this is also from the plot and the kaid, the makr of the enemies of al-Islam, to take the Muslims far away from the language of the Quran. So they introduced the Hajat and these different dialects and the likes like this. And they encourage each one of them to have their own ones. And then they encourage each one of them to brag about his and over other ones. And then they separate the believers in this manner. And if the person from Morocco wants to talk with the person from Egypt, or the person from Jazair, or from Libya, or in the likes, or from Saudi Arabia, many times if they use their local languages, they won't understand each other. The Arab themselves, they won't understand each other. So whenever they speak to each other, they'll use the general fusha. They need to understand each other. I remember one time when I was in Egypt, alhamdulillah, we were going through a long journey from Cairo all the way to Monofia. And I was with a friend from Libya. He was the one who helped me when I first got there. I remember this now. And whenever we go on train, we go on car, we go on bus, all different, and then we get into like a village area. And we're riding in a bus and it's packed, a little bitty small van. And then all of a sudden some guy stands up and he says some words that were the strangest words I ever heard. I didn't understand one thing he said. And then the bus driver stopped, and the guy got off and I was like, oh man, my Arabic is terrible. Because I was when I first got there too, to Egypt. The first thing I did, alhamdulillah, we went to Monofia. Yani, so I was thinking to myself, oh man, I'm in trouble. I didn't understand. I didn't understand one word, not one word. I did not feed, nothing like this. And then after the bus started going again, my friend from Libya, he looked at me and he said, I didn't understand nothing that man just said. I was like, Allahu Akbar, alhamdulillah. It wasn't just me. Yani he's Arab, yani he's from Libya. So he didn't understand either. Yani the point is, this is from the signs. That is the importance of learning the Arabic language, to understand the Quran. To understand the Quran. So if somebody has the Arabic language already, yani in general, alhamdulillah. But to learn the qawaid, and to learn the usul, and to learn the nahw and the sarf, and the meanings of the scales, and the meanings of the Arab and how it changes the meaning and the likes like that, it'll open the door for pondering and reflecting. It'll open the gateway to ponder and to reflect and to understand in a greater manner, in a greater manner, in balagha and the likes like this. So therefore, this is an indication, again, for the Muslims to learn the Arabic language. All of them, the Arab from them and the non-Arab from them. The Arab from them and the non-Arab from them. They need to ponder over the Quran. But even if a person is not able to read the Arabic language at all, he can still reflect. He can still read the translation and reflect upon that. But it's not the same. It's not the same. But it definitely will be a means to increase in faith. He could read the translation and ponder and reflect over that and think deeply about those meanings, and definitely he could increase in faith. And he could believe from that. The faith could come to him from this manner. And he could increase in faith. But the one who really wants to taste the sweetness, then let him learn the Arabic language. Let him learn the Arabic language. And this is something that's very important. Very important. So in order to take to bring out the blessing of the Quran, you have to ponder and reflect over it. From the greatest blessing of the Quran is to obtain faith. So that means one, he must reflect and ponder and think deeply about it. It's a kama dhukira anna tadaburahu yuqifu al-jahida an juhudihi wa yamna'u al-muta'addiya an ad-dini min i'tida'ihi. Qala ta'ala afalam yadabburu al-qawm. Yani, and then he says, rahimahullah, and it has been mentioned that the one who ponders and reflects over the Quran, it will stop the person who rejects it. It will stop the person from rejecting it, and from his rejection and denial. And it will prohibit the person who's transgressing in the religion likewise from his transgression. And if the one who reflects and ponders, and if before, yani he was in denial, or he belied that, it will stop him from that. It will cause him to submit. Or if before he was transgressing the limits and the likes with regards to the religion, then to truly reflect over the Quran sincerely will stop him from that. قَالَ تَعَالَى أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْمِ. Did they not ponder and reflect over the statement? Did they not ponder and reflect over the word, meaning the word of Allah Azza wa Jalla, the speech of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala? So the Shaykh comments, he says, أي فلو تدبروه حق تدبره لمنعهم مما هم عليه من الكفر والتكذيب وأوجب لهم الإيمان واتباع من جاء به. He said, meaning, and did they not ponder and reflect and think deeply about the word, meaning the speech of Allah Azza wa Jalla? He said, this means that had they pondered and reflected truthfully, in the proper manner, then it would prohibit them from that which they are upon, from disbelief and from denial. And it would require for them and bring about for them faith, and that they would follow the one who brought the Quran. And they would follow the one who brought the Quran. And had they pondered over the word, had they pondered over the Quran and that which it contains from beauty and from eloquence in its composition and in its recitation, and likewise from the wonderful and amazing and just commandments and prohibitions that are found therein, and the regulations and the legislation and the commandments and the likes that are found therein, that's all good, prohibiting every evil and the likes like this in a just and the best manner. The one who reflected truthfully in the proper manner, it will stop him from disbelieving. It will stop him from denying. He will believe in the Quran. He will believe in the one who brought the Quran and that he came with it, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi وسلم. وقال تعالى بل كذبوا بما لم يحيطوا بعلمه. And Allah, he says, but rather they belied and they denied, they disbelieved in that which they did not encompass in knowledge. He says, أي فلو حصل لهم الإحاطة بعلمه لمنعهم من التكذيب وأوجب لهم الإيمان. Meaning that had encompassing knowledge, any knowledge of the Quran, they had learned it properly and truthfully, then that would prohibit them from belying it. And it would require for them to believe. It will require for them to believe. And so again, this is an indication of the importance of knowledge. So the reason why they didn't believe is because they didn't have the proper knowledge. So therefore, having a deficiency in the knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah is a means to have a deficiency in faith. Is a means to have a deficiency in faith. And to not truly know the names and attributes of Allah and the proper way to understand them and to believe in them. And to understand the Tawheed properly, the Rububiyyah of Allah and His Lordship and His right to be worshipped alone, Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, that He has the beautiful names and attributes of perfection with no deficiency whatsoever, and that He's alive and never dies. Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, He feeds, He's not fed. He has no beginning and He has no end. Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, He's strong and He's never weak. He's strong and He's never weak. He's powerful. And everything belongs to Him and is in His creation and under His command, under His authority. Nothing happens except with His permission. And whoever He raises is raised. And whoever He lowers is lowered. And whoever He honors is honored. And whoever He humiliates is humiliated. And nothing can happen except with His will. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who learns these affairs truly, properly, he will increase in faith. And likewise, the one who learns the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he was upon, in his daytime, in his nighttime, in his home, and in his masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in times of war and in times of peace, and how he was always just, and how he was always honest, and he was always truthful. And even before he was a prophet, he was honest and truthful and known for the al-Amin, that he was a trustworthy, and that he never touched an idol. He never touched an idol, and he never ate the food, the meat that was slaughtered for an idol. This was something that was known for about him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Abu Bakr, radiallahu anhu, that they were pure even before Islam, that they are pure, free from the way of disbelief, in general, the general way of falsehood. They were free from that and safe from that even before Islam. So how about after the deen was revealed? Allahu Akbar. So the one who learns about these affairs, this knowledge is a means for him to increase in certainty and to increase in faith. And likewise, learning about Al-Islam, learning about Al-Islam, the legislation of Al-Islam, and the regulations of Al-Islam, and the halal and the haram of Al-Islam, the creed and the belief and the aqidah of Al-Islam, and likewise the sharia and the legislation of Al-Islam, learning it properly in detail, a believer will increase in faith, and he will love that and be pleased with it. And he will love that and he'll be pleased with it. بَلْ كَذَّبُوا بِمَا لَمْ يُحِيطُوا بِعِلْمِهِ. But rather they belied and denied that which they did not encompass in knowledge. So to have deficiency in knowledge of these affairs, of Allah, and of His Messenger, and of His deen, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is a means for what? To have deficiency in faith. Could even lead a person to belie it and to deny it. To belie it and to deny it. The Shaykh, he says, وَمِنْ طُرُقِ مُجِبَاتِ الْإِمَانِ وَأَسْبَابِهِ مَعْرِفَةُ النَّبِي sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa ma'rifatu ma huwa alayhi min al-akhlaq al-'ariyah wal awsaf al-kamilah. And also from the means and from the ways that will bring about and necessitate, require for the faith to come, it will bring the faith, from the means that will bring about the faith, and from the ways that will bring about the faith, and from its means is to know the prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to know what he was upon from the lofty manners and from the complete and perfect attributes of the human being, and his noble and lofty manners, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he was upon, in piety and righteousness, and what he was upon in devotion and sincerity, and what he was given in this life and in the hereafter, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he would stand, for example, until his feet would burst, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if he's asked about that, he would say, afala akuna abdan shakura. They said, didn't Allah forgive you for your sins, all of them before him, and the past and the present? And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, should I not be a thankful slave? Should I not be a thankful slave? And this would not stop him. He would continue and increase in devotion and servitude and humbleness, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the loftiest of manners. A man would come to him from behind him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and grab his neck and squeeze his collar, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until it shows the harshness of his garment in his neck, and the likes like this. And he would say, give me some sadaqah, O Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet turned around and smiled and said, give him some sadaqah. Give him some sadaqah. And then and how gentle and kind he was. And then the man, he would take his sword from the tree and point it while the Prophet's on the ground, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who's going to save you from me? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say one word, Allah, Allah. And the man, he can't hold the sword, he'd fall from his hand. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would stand up and take the sword, and now he's on the ground. Who's going to save you from me? He would say, but you're the most generous and the most kind, and you're known for nobility and honor and respect. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions would come, and he'll tell them what happened. Where are y'all at? This is, don't you know, this is what just happened, this man, and now, subhanAllah. And he said, let him go. It didn't harm him. And a man, he starts talking in the middle of the prayer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he just told him, the prayer is not, this is not the time for that. This is the time for the recitation of the Quran and the praise of Allah, not for the speech of the people. The man, he didn't do that no more. A man, he came in the masjid and he passed urine in the masjid. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Da'uhu." Let him finish. How many principles of the religion that are applied in daily life and detailed aspects of life and in the religion and the deen derive from that issue right there? Usul al-fiqh, qawaid and usul, and it derived from this issue right here. So many benefits derived from that. Yani subhanallah, from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and from his statements and from his words. The one who ponders over the adhkar, and the words of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he'll find amazing affair. He never called to himself. He always called to Allah. Everything is the remembrance of Allah. The remembrance of Allah. Whenever the people raised him above his rank, he became angry and became mad. La tutruni kama atrat an-nasara ya Isa ibn Maryam. Do not praise me and go into extremes and praising me like the Christians did the son of Mary, Jesus, the son of Mary. He became angry. Qulu Abdullah wa Rasul. Say the slave of Allah and his messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some little girls are singing and they're saying, Yani fina Rasulullah ya'lamu ma fi ghadin. They said, amongst us is the messenger of Allah. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would get mad and get angry. He said, don't say that. La ya'lamu ma fi ghadin illa Allah. Nobody knows what happens tomorrow except for Allah. Somebody said to him, masha'Allah wa shitta. And he's trying to honor him and respect him. Whatever Allah wills and you will. But the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't go for that. This is the right of Allah. This is the right. Don't. Aja'altani lillahi niddan bal masha'Allahu wahda. Did you make me appear and arrival with Allah? Rather, whatever Allah wills alone. Whatever Allah wills alone, like this. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he called to Allah. The adhkar, yani subhanallah, in the morning and the evening. Yani the remembrance is that reminding you of Allah, reminding you of the meaning of Allah, reminding you of the greatness of Allah. His whole life, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was in this manner, dedicated and devoted to Allah. Dedicated and devoted to Allah. Not to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's the messenger of Allah. And he's the best of the children of Adam. Wala fakhar. And he said that, and he said, I'm not bragging. And I'm not bragging. And he, like this, subhanAllah, amazing affairs in the manners and in the narrations of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, rahimahullah, فَإِنَّ مَنْ عَرَفَهُ حَقَّ الْمَعْرِفَ لَمْ يَرْتَبْ فِي صِدْقِهِ وَصِدْقِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَالسُنَّةِ وَالدِّينِ الْحَقِّ. So therefore, the one who knows him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who knows Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam truthfully, the proper knowledge, the proper understanding, knows his biography and his sunnah and his way properly and correctly. And not the way of the innovators. Not the way of the innovators. Some people, they only know Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on his birthday. So they claim that it's his birthday. And many of them, they party, and they're never even found in the masjid, or they're never even found yani around. And when there's food, and there's a birth, and there's a party, and they party, and they miss the obligatory prayer. Or they party, and they shave their faces at the same time, and they're imitating the enemies of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the likes like this. Or even like this, the party on Isra' when Miraj. So they claim likewise. And they party, they stay up all night, and they celebrate. And then they sleep on Fajr. And even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on Isra' wa Miraj, the greatest thing that happened to him is that the obligation of Salat was made upon him. And then these people, they stay up and party all night, and then they sleep on Fajr. They sleep on the Fajr. And the likes like this. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you want to talk about his birthday? He was born on Monday. He fasted that day. Or y'all don't fasting on Monday. They don't fast on Monday. He had a beard. Where are you at with a beard? You don't have a beard. SubhanAllah. It's just, it's a calamity. That's not what is intended here. The true, he says, حق المعرفة. The one who knows the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true knowledge, the proper knowledge. How could you know him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true knowledge, the proper knowledge, from the Quran and from the Sunnah, from Bukhari and from Muslim, and from Sunan Abi Dawud, from Kutub al-Sitta. This is where his narrations are collected. From the books of Hadith, where the chains are verified that it's authentically on him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is where you find innama al-amalu bin niyyah. This is where you find that he raised his hands whenever he made takbir. This is how you find how he made ruku' sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is how you find how he raced with his wife. He let his army go ahead of him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he told his young wife, let's race sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where's that at? That's in the books of hadith, not in these stories these people come up with. This is not from having knowledge of the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. La ilaha illallah. I remember just now. I recently just received a video a video of a man in Indonesia. He's in Indonesia, he's Arab, and he has an Indonesian man along with him. He's an Arab sheikh. Looks like he's supposed to be the scholar. His words are being translated. The man, he's praising the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's calling Habib, Habib al-Habib al-Azam, the greatest Habib, the greatest loved, the beloved, and saying all these good words about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and just raising his mention. And then he says, one time, like this, no hadith, no Bukhari, no. He said one time, there were some people from Morocco, and they came to visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Right there is already a mukhalafa. Right, it's not allowed to visit, to go to Medina to visit the grave of the Prophet. You go to the Medina to visit the masjid of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to pray there, and to have the reward of that. And along with that, you visit the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But you don't go there with the intention of visiting the grave. In his story, this is what he says. He says that there was a group of salihun, salih, righteous people, coming from Morocco, and they want to go visit the Prophet's grave sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And whenever they finally get to the gateways of Medina, all of a sudden, suddenly Fatima is there, out of nowhere. Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she's there. And they say, and she said, "Where are you all? Where are you all going?" And they say, "We're going to visit your father." And he's making it, and he's about to cry. "We're going to visit your father. We're going to visit." And she says, "Oh no, my father's not here today. He went to visit the grave of the Wadi so-and-so. And they're like, "Oh no, man." Like this is the story. This is the falsehood and the lies that they, and then the fools who hear this, they're like, "Oh, so that's how they turn the people away from the Kaaba. You don't, never mind making tawaf around the Kaaba, and making, you're going to go to the grave of the Wadi where the Prophet, he came out of his grave to go there." And so they claim, liars. This is not what is intended here. This is not knowing the Prophet. They don't know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Lying like this, Allah al-Musta'an. This is not what is intended. What is intended, knowing the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from his narrations. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man ra'ani, yani fil manami fa innahu ra'ani." And whoever sees me in a dream, then verily he saw me. Fa inna shaytana la tamathalu bi, because shaytan is not able to, he's not able to portray me. The people of knowledge from them, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhumah, he mentioned that what this means, the one who saw him the way the companion saw him. So some people, they say they saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they'll say, "Describe him, what did he look like?" He said he was short and he didn't have a beard. So what? So you didn't see the Prophet Muhammad. No, wallah, he said he was the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's not the Prophet Muhammad. The Prophet Muhammad was not short and he had a beard. Or they'll say he was tall, he had a beard, but his hand was cut off. Stories like this is what they'll say. And so the point is that the one who saw the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning saw him the way the companions described him, where will you find that at? In the hadith, in Bukhari, and Muslim, Kutub al-Sitta, and these books that are mentioned before, the books of hadith. And I keep saying Kutub al-Sitta because of the main ones, but there are other books likewise that are relied upon as well. These are the main ones, but there's other books likewise, yani, that are relied upon as well. So the point is, yani, to know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam requires to know these books. To have knowledge of these books, to have knowledge of the hadith, that's where he began with that. And he began with to have knowledge of the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then mentioning, yani, that leads you to pondering over the Quran, now you're going to realize that the Prophet's narrations are likewise truth. وَمَا يَنْطِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَى إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَى. So the point is that to have true knowledge of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam requires to know about his narrations, requires to know about Sahih al-Bukhari, Sahih Muslim, requires to know about Sunan al-Arba, requires to know about Ibn Khuzaymah and Ibn Hibban and Hakim, requires to know about Tahawi, requires to know about Sufyan and Muhammadan, requires to know about the scholars of Hadith, and Ali ibn Madini and the likes, to know about them in order to know the Prophet's narration, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the author, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, فَإِنَّ مَنْ عَرَفَهُ حَقَّ الْمَعْرِفَةِ لَمْ يَرْتَبْ فِي صِدْقِهِ وَصِدْقِ مَا جَاءَ بِهِ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَسُنَّةِ وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. So therefore, whoever knows him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the true understanding, whoever knows him has knowledge of him and understanding, the true knowledge and understanding, the correct knowledge and understanding, he will not have any doubt or suspicion about his truthfulness and the truthfulness of that which he has come with from the book and from the sunnah and from the true religion. From the book and from the sunnah and from the true religion. كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى. Just as Allah the Most High, he says, أَلَمْ أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ. Did they not know their messenger? Or did they not know their messenger? sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So therefore they belie him and deny him. And this verse here comes after the verse previously mentioned. أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبَّرُوا الْقَوْلِ. And do they not ponder over the word? And over the words of Allah Azza wa Jal? Did they not ponder over the words of Allah Azza wa Jal? What did the Shaykh say that meant? And had they pondered and reflected properly over the words of Allah Azza wa Jal, they would know that the one who came with it was truthful. That the one who brought that Quran, he's truthful. That this, they would believe in the one who brought the Quran. Meaning they would believe in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and that which he came with. So Allah, he says this, أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبُّرُوا الْقَوْلِ أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. Or did they not know their own messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so therefore they belie him and deny him? Yani like they don't know him? Like they don't know him? Yani for the time, in the time of Quraysh, they don't know the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his lineage and his honesty and his truth and his truthfulness and his piety and his kindness and how just he was sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They don't know, of course they know who he was. And likewise, and until this day, the people, they belie him and deny him because they don't know who he was. They don't know who he is. And likewise, those people of innovation, what leads them to their innovation, because they don't know their Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why they disobey him, and why do they oppose him in their creed, in their belief, in their creed, in their belief, and they call on graves, and they make tawaf around graves. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he fought this. This is the foundation of his call. Until he died sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a warning from the worship of other than Allah, specifically the graves and the likes like this, and those people who oppose him in their worship and in their manners and their conduct, and opposing him blatantly sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and choosing the way and the statement of another man, and preferring the way and the statement of another man over the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. They don't know their messenger. Because if they knew their messenger, they wouldn't belie him, and they wouldn't deny him, and they wouldn't reject him, and they wouldn't disobey him, and they wouldn't imitate his enemies sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this goes back to knowledge again. To know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the means to follow him, is the means to love him, is the means to prefer his way, is the means to prefer his way, to know his way and to prefer his way, and to love his sunnah, and to love his legal ways, to love what he was upon in every aspect. And he's one of the Jews. They try to make fun, of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They came to Salman al-Farisi, radiyallahu anhu, said, "Inna nabiyyakum qad 'allamakum kulla shay hatta al-khira'a." He said, "Oh, your Prophet taught you everything, even the restroom manners." And he said, "Ajal." He said, "That's right." He said, "That's right." And he mentioned the manners that he learned from there. And this is from the beauty of Islam, and from the perfection of the deen, and from the signs that he's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He taught you how to purify yourself in every situation. Purifying yourself from shirk and attaching your heart to other than Allah first and foremost, and purifying your body from every filth, and purifying your manners from every lowly conduct, and purifying your tongue and your speech from every foul and despicable speech. And the likes like this, he came with purity. He came with a deen al-khalis, a deen that is pure. Everything about it is pure and good. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't command anything except for it's beneficial and good. He didn't prohibit anything except for it's foul and evil, and it's no good, or the evil is worse than the good. It's worse and more harmful than the good and the likes like this. But the problem is that people don't know their Prophet. And I'm talking now about the Muslims. And this verse here is talking about the disbelievers. They disbelieve in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, belied him and denied him because they don't know him. But likewise, many of the Muslims are upon innovation. They're upon a foul way, and they're upon a tashabbuh bil kafara bi a'da'i rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, imitating and following it. Yata'ajabuna bihim wa yuhibbunahum. And he's Allahu Akbar. But the point is that even the Muslims, they don't know their own Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Many of them. May Allah allow us to know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To know his sunnah, it's like knowing Allah. You know Allah, you know his names and attributes, and you comply to that which requires. You know his names and attributes, you know what that means, you know what that requires, you know what that necessitates, and you worship Allah accordingly. Likewise, to know the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to know what he was upon from khayr and goodness, and to follow his way accordingly. The right of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam upon us is that we believe in him, and we believe in his statements, and we don't reject anything that he said. Tasdiquhu fima akhbara. Tasdiquhu fima akhbar. To everything he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if it's authentic, it's the truth. You have no problem about that. وسلم ويسلم تسليما. You have no problem about that. And then to obey him, to listen to him and obey him, to follow him. He's the role model. He has more right to you than your own soul. He has more right to us than our own soul. النَّبِي أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ The Prophet, he has more right to the believers than their own soul. Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's more trustworthy and more truthful and more sincere in giving advice to our souls than our own souls. And there's no way that we can reach paradise and the pleasure of Allah except by following him. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. By following him and the way he worshipped Allah. And the way he surrendered to Allah. The way he submitted to Allah. The way that he was devoted to Allah. To follow him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's incumbent to love him more than one loves his own soul because he has more right upon us than our own souls. And he's more truthful with us than our own souls. If we left it up to our own souls, then we would lead ourselves into the fire. We would lead ourselves into the fire, following desires and whims, following the hawa, which is contrary to the huda that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with. أَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ يُلَهُ يُنْكِرُونَ Do they not know their own messenger, so therefore they belie him and they deny him? Why are they doing these innovations? Why are they doing these innovations and making up ways to or worship and making up ways and Toruq and paths, Diobandiyya and Ahmadiyya and this one and this one. They didn't have no Bakriya. There was Umuriya, Uthmaniya, Alawiya. They didn't have the likes. There was no the tariqah for Abu Bakr. Or a way you need to for Umar and a way for Uthman like this. Now, how will these people come with these ways today? These ways you worship Allah and you do some weird and crazy stuff. And in the end of it, they wind up putting themselves on the ground and prostrating before men. And the life's like this. Well, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ This is an amazing verse. First, what did Allah say? أَفَلَمْ يَدَّبُرُ الْقَوْلِ Did not ponder over the word? Did not ponder over the speech of Allah Azza wa Jal? And had they pondered properly, they would realize it's the truth. أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ Or do they not know their own messenger? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why they belie him. And so therefore, they have a problem with أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ This is what it goes back to. This affair here. That's with regards to the disbelievers directly, but even from the Muslims, there are people they don't know these affairs. May Allah guide us in the believers. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.